thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, your host. Waiting on Will T. Ray Jeezy is out. Ray should be back next week, so I'm boosting. I'm gonna have my homie, my partner in crime, Ray Jeezy back. We'll have that dynamic trio. I'm sorry, duo. The trio of the Urban Sports Scene back together. But subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Before we get into our tradition of pregame, I'm going to talk about something that's not going to be on today's show, but I want to talk about a little bit. You know, it's about the Russell Westbrook situation where, I don't have the audio, but Russell Westbrook went ham on a fan when the OKC Thunder were playing the Utah Jazz. It happened in Utah. Basically, a fan said some inappropriate things to Russell Westbrook. It's reported that it could have been racial. I have an issue with people who don't live that life, who aren't black, who aren't African American, who talk about that situation as if like Russell was at fault. Russell basically threatened the dude to say like, you say it again and he's going to them up. You know what I mean? This guy and his girlfriend. I don't agree with Russ saying bringing his girlfriend into it, but I don't know what his girlfriend said. In my opinion, Russ was never going to touch the girl. So all that is whatever. But I feel like when, you have individuals who come out and say, yeah, Russ should be suspended or, Russ handled it incorrectly. It's hard for somebody who's not African-American or black to come out and say that. You never have been put in that situation where you have like racial slurs at you. So for anybody to come out and say, Russ handled that incorrectly. I think Russ handled it as good as he could handle it. It could have been worse. Russ could have went into the stands and punched this guy out. So, that showed great restraint, in my opinion, to not even put your hands on a guy who possibly could have had a racial slur towards Russell Westbrook. If he didn't, Russ has to kind of, get his mode in check. But if it was totally racial and if it was something disrespectful, then in my opinion, Russ is all, I'm all for Russ to say whatever, because, you're talking down to a man, the lowest of the lowest, when you're pretty much putting out racial slurs to somebody or trying to demean them in a racist way. So I have no issue, if true, with what Russell Westbrook did. Or, did in terms of saying, I'm gonna F that dude up and his girlfriend. I have no issue with it. If the fan was racist. But this fan has been reported. It has been reported that this fan had some racist tweets about Russell Westbrook, and he deleted them ASAP. So, again, you take it for what it is. I'm going to be with my man Russell Westbrook. I'm for Russ. I'm going to say this again, the caveat, if this fan was putting out racial slurs towards Russell Westbrook or trying to demean him in a racist way. Will T's not here right now. Oh, there, my man Will T is here. So Will T would normally say this. Wait, no, Will T. I'll wait for you, Will T. I'll put your mic
Let's
up.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here are our topics. The Washington Redskins signing safety Landon Collins to a 6-year, $84 million deal. That was a great move. At 8:20, we'll talk about the Redskins trading for quarterback Case Keenum. At 8:30, we'll talk about Antonio Brown being traded to the Oakland Raiders. At 8:40, in college basketball, we'll debate who has a better chance to win their conference tourney, the Maryland Terps or the Georgetown Hoyas. Finally, at 8:50, host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee, will join the show to talk about Saturday's big IBF welterweight fight between Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence Jr. But first, reportedly, the Washington Redskins signed, it's official, but reportedly because of the tampering phases.
Well, it's not official.
You know what I mean? Reportedly, the Washington Redskins signed all-pro safety Landon Collins to a 6-year, $84 million deal. $45 million of the contract was guaranteed money. You said it was a bad move. Say why.
First of all, how you doing?
Fine. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right, man. Yeah. A little under the weather. But I'm under the weather. But
dude, if you're sick, you just tell me, man. It's not a big deal.
Hey, man. I made a commitment. I might not make it through the whole show.
Okay, that's cool. Just let me know, man.
Here's why.
Okay.
I look at what you lost and what you brought in. Okay. Right? Mm-hmm. You lost a pass rusher in Preston Smith.
Yeah.
You lost a versatile piece along the offensive line in Ty Secchi.
Mm-hmm.
And you also lost a slot receiver who, although was injured, but when he was healthy, pretty good slot receiver, Jamison Crowder.
You were gonna have to overpay all these players who weren't all pros. Jamison Crowder got 17 guaranteed in within the last three, other than his rookie year, his second year.
I'm not saying that you had to bring those guys. I'm just saying net.
Yeah.
I don't think this is because I think his team is weaker than they were at the end of the season, losing those three pieces and bringing in Landon Collins. Mm-hmm. Now, what Landon Collins does do, he provides a playmaker. Let's be honest, he's probably the only playmaker on that side of the ball.
On defense? Yes.
Kerrigan is consistent.
I wouldn't call Kerrigan a playmaker. I'm with you. He's consistent. He's consistent.
Jonathan Allen.
I like Jonathan. I would call Jonathan Allen more.
He's been injured.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think he's
DeRon Payne.
He was his first year. He was a rookie. Yeah. He was young.
So you have a proven.
Ioannidis was pretty good.
Ioannidis. You have a proven Pro Bowl playmaker in Landon Collins.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you overpaid him. Because I don't know the details. I don't know the cash flow, how the contract is set up.
The way it was set up, it's favorable to the Skins. Put it that way. Eric Schaefer did a good job. And breaking news, Odell Beckham. I got it on my phone. Odell Beckham Jr. was traded to the Browns. Damn.
Get everyone out of there.
I know, man. Look, so people would say, because when Landon Collins, we'll talk about that in the next segment, but Landon Collins. People thought that, the Giants got rid of him, so something has to be wrong with him. As you can tell, the Giants are getting rid of everybody, so it doesn't even matter. They got rid of one of the best wide receivers in the game.
Yeah, we may have to rework our...
Yeah, we will. I'm tie that in with Antonio Brown.
Okay. I think Washington, I just don't think this team was one elite playmaker away from being a good or great team. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying. I think this is just
one. I think for you to drop this amount of money on one player when you already are paying another DB $14-15 million, Josh Norman.
Josh Norman.
I think you're investing too much of your cap into one
secondary.
Grouping. Yes, into the secondary.
Well, this is my thing. The way the money is spread out. They still have room to maneuver. They're probably going to cut a couple players anyway. They're going to probably let go Zach Brown. They didn't re-sign Preston Smith. They didn't re-sign Jamison Crowder. So there's still money to be played with for the Washington Reds, because I like the deal. You sign a guy that's a three-time Pro Bowler. He was a first team All Pro in 2016. And also, truth be told, over the last some odd years, Daniel Snyder's been real frugal with his money. You can contribute that to Bruce Allen. But these teams nowadays who are winning, they are spending money. You know what I mean? Like, this way of Daniel Snyder not spending money hasn't been beneficial in terms of winning football games. I'm glad they finally broke the pocket, but for the right guy, a guy who's 25 years old. Who's still in this prime, and I mentioned three-time Pro Bowler. It's not like an Adam Archuleta. It's not like an Albert Haynesworth. This is a different type of beast. So I'm a fan of him. I think this team needed safety help. Letting DJ Swearinger go, not knowing what's going to happen with Monte Nicholson. Letting Ha Ha Clinton Dix go. I'm not letting him go, but he's still out there in the market as a free agent. So you need the safeties. So to me, this is a good fit. This team now needs an edge pass rusher, because like you mentioned, Preston Smith is not a Washington Redskin anymore. Preston Smith has now been signed by the Green Bay Packers. So they do need a pass rusher. But the blessing about this draft, there's a plethora of speed rushing edge rushers in this draft. As good as Preston Smith as he flashed in games over his career with the Washington Redskins, he wasn't a guy that you can say, you know what, he reached his maximum potential. The most he pretty much got was like 8 sacks. He would get pressure. He would look good in terms of Pro Football Focus. But at the end of the day, when you need a big play in terms of getting that key sack, Preston Smith wasn't that guy. So you like Preston Smith in terms of what he brought to the table in terms of potential, but in terms of bringing in every Sunday, he didn't. So to me, you got a guy, Landon Collins, that has shown with the Giants, a different defense, that he can bring it for his team on any given Sunday. And also, you know, he's getting matched up with his Alabama homies. You know, you got De'Ron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Reuben Foster, Sean Deion Hamilton. Am I missing somebody? I'm sure I'm not. Ryan Anderson, Cam Sims. So in terms of Alabama, and to be honest with you, for a Reuben Foster, this may be good for Reuben Foster. More guys to kind of, you know, settle him down.
I mean, we'll see. Excuse me. I don't like the investment in one area. Such a large investment in one area.
You mean defense, or are you just talking about secondary?
No, I'm just talking about your secondary.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Just if you're looking at the makeup of the team, where your cap dollars are going. But, I understand you want, well, Alex Smith is still on the... He's on the books.
Yeah.
I just think there were other areas you could have addressed.
Like what areas would you address?
Slot receiver.
That's Trey Quinn. That's the guy that Jay Gruden likes, Trey Quinn. That's okay. No, I'm saying, like, what you're saying is like, no, see, again, this is the thing. You're saying a need from your mind, but from the organization, that's not a need. Like, Trey Quinn is a guy that flashed against the Cowboys, flashed in preseason, flashed in certain games. He just was injured. I'm not saying that I'm a big Trey Quinn fan, but I'm going to say, but he's a young guy. He's a second year. It's not as if James, as much as folks like Jamison Crowder, his problem was what? Availability.
So, okay, I mean, you still need help along the offensive line.
Agreed. I'm not, but again, you have how many picks in draft? You have, like, in terms of, like, the compensatory picks.
Darius Geis Jr., you think he's going to come back, rebound from his
knee injury. Yeah, you can still sign AP. You still
need help at receiver. Need help at the linebacker position.
Only thing I really truly agree with is the receiver.
The offensive line?
No, I agree with the offensive line, but I think you could still get that in the draft. Like, you need a guard. Your offensive line situation is guard. That's what you need to fill it up with. It's a guard. You get a guard. Again, when can you get guards though? You can get guards if you.
But this is the draft thing. Correctly. This is the thing that you're failing to realize.
Yeah.
You have belief in this front office and this organization to draft correctly. The right players and the coaching staff also to put Landon Collins in the right position to shine.
This is where I agree with you at. If you look at the track record, the Doug Williams. Eric Schaefer, Bruce Allen, but yeah, you know, they haven't been bad in terms of drafting. They haven't been horrible in terms of drafting.
That's relatively speaking.
But they haven't been horrible in terms of drafting. If you look at the players that you mentioned, Jonathan Allen, that's a guy that could have been first round pick. I mean, Jonathan Allen should have been a top five pick.
Should have been, but he's been injured like everyone, the people
only
who
that one year,
him over
only one year.
Thought he would be.
Year two, was he injured? No, he wasn't. He was productive. I'm saying year two. See, I mean, let's be factual with it.
Okay, let's be factual.
Okay, De'Ron Payne, who I wanted the kid from, I want to say the kid from Washington. I think he went to Washington. That went to Tampa. He got drafted by Tampa. That's who I wanted. But De'Ron Payne, they did well. De'Ron Payne outplayed him this season. So that's a good draft pick. Tim Settles, a guy that flashed that you got in the late round from VTech, is now one of your top dudes. Matt Ioannidis was a project. So in terms of the defense, they drafted correctly. Even Jamison Crowder was supposed to just be a return man, end up being a decent slot dude.
No, I don't think he was just supposed to be
He was. He was supposed to. He ended up. No, because I'm going to tell you what. I'm tell you what happened. Say again. I'm going to tell you what happened. Roberts, the dude.
You're speaking you're media.
I'm telling you what happened. Roberts, who couldn't catch, who kept fumbling, was supposed to be the slot dude. They drafted Jamison Crowder just to be the return man. He ended up looking good in camp. Replace Roberts and end up being a key slot dude. So at the end of the day, if you look at the draft, they did all right drafting. So, but again, to your point though, Will T, this is my thing. This is what I agree with you with. It's the coaching staff. It's how can you can cannot expect Landon Collins to be coached up well with Minuski and his staff. Like, for instance, even the wide receiver. Look at Josh Dotson. Like, has any of these wide receivers, these young wide receivers, flourished under, I believe it's Rashay Caldwell is the wide receivers coach. But I'm sorry, Ike Hilliard is the wide receivers coach. Has any of these wide receivers flourished under Ike Hilliard?
No.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, when you're looking at the coaching staff, are they making these young players better at certain positions?
No. I mean, it's all, as I made my case.
Yeah.
You have a high belief in the organization. That means from the front office to the coaching staff.
Who has a high belief?
You.
No.
If you're excited about a safety that you're paying 6 years, $84 million, because, what is it, $45 million guaranteed?
Yeah, because everybody's going to pay.
Hold on. If you're excited about his potential
and
what he's done in the past, then you have a belief that that will transition over to D.C., correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so in order for that to transition over into D.C., that means the coaching staff needs to put him in the right position. I don't have any belief. I don't have a high level of belief that the coaching staff will put him in a position to flourish. I think they'll do things that he may not necessarily be comfortable with.
And that's fair. That's a fair point. That's a very fair point. On Facebook, I posted the same question. I posted about the trade. Your thoughts on Facebook. Troy Perry posted, if they let him play aggressively, great signing. If he's a schematic, reactive player, then they overpaid him. I think that's pretty much what you were saying, right, Will T? It's about the coaching.
Yeah.
But they don't let him play his game, then he's overpaid. On Twitter,
the Browns gave up.
They just
First round pick, a third round pick, and safety Jabril Peppers.
They gave up Jabril?
Mm-hmm.
I love Jabril Peppers. You know, Michigan. That's my dude.
So you gave up, you let Landon Collins walk, and you brought in Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, I like Jabril Peppers, but at the end of the day, he hasn't even been what he was supposed to be yet. But
yeah, he hasn't reached his potential.
Yeah, yet. I mean, he has all the skill in terms of a playmaker, but he hasn't been that dude yet. On Twitter, @TLib tweeted, back to our old sales, $45 million guarantee. Shake my head. It's like nobody watches film over overspent for an in the box safety that can't cover. See, again, that's like a little. He's not a. Again, like, did you? This is my thing. People like Cam Chancellor, right?
Yeah.
He was in that box, right?
Cam Chancellor was in the box. Cam Chancellor was physical, and but physical. Also Cam Chancellor
could cover in the slot area. But you weren't asking him to play that Earl Thomas role.
Yeah, because you had Earl Thomas playing the high safety.
Yeah, and that's what he could do. And they put Cam Chancellor in a position to succeed, right?
They did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, you still need two different types of safeties. Everybody has it. Like, it's about how you play that role. Landon Collins.
I also think when you say Cam Chancellor, right? Yeah. What was the thing that Cam Chancellor had around him? He had excellent corners and a free safety that made up a lot of range.
I'm talking about that free safety. I agree with that free safety. I think the free safety made everybody look good.
Okay, that's fair.
I think he made everybody look
good. That's fair. So Cam Chancellor was able to gamble and take some risks.
Yeah, I agree. No, I totally agree.
Landon Collins may not have those elements around him.
Oh, I agree. I mean, there's definitely that free safety position definitely needs to be tackled. But I think in terms of having a playmaker in that slot, I think you can't beat that. This team needs playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. You just can't say, all right, you know what? Let's just roll the season with Monte Nicholson and let's make the Shazer Everett that position. Now you got a guy who can ball at that position. I'm just saying, like, the Skins can't – like, they lost two safeties, basically. They're two starting safeties last year.
I mean, they lost three safeties. You think about it. Ha-ha, Clinton Diggs, Monte Ellis, and Monte Nicholson, and DJ Swearinger.
Yeah, so they had to make some type of move. But Case Keenum is coming to D.C. We'll discuss that at the break. You listen to Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wally Ray. Jeezy's out. The Redskins traded away their 6th-round pick to the Denver Broncos for quarterback Case Keenum. The Redskins will only have to pay him about $3.5 million for the 2019 season. As the team is constructed, should Case Keenum be their starting quarterback?
As the team is currently constructed.
That means no other quarterbacks on this roster at the moment. Just him and Colt McCoy. I mean, between those two.
I mean, if it's between him or Colt McCoy, I mean, you're not getting a significant upgrade if it's between him and Colt McCoy.
But you would say that Case Keenum is better than Colt McCoy, right?
I will say Case Keenum has had flashes over a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. I.e. that one season in Minnesota that will lead you to believe that he's better than Colt McCoy. Yes, mm-hmm. I will give you that.
Yeah, because you know what? It's funny because a lot of Skins fans are like, you know, they're the same. And I think a lot of Skins fans, they like love Colt McCoy. But if you're looking at between Colt McCoy and Case Keenum, the Redskins, they should go with Case Keenum. He's had better regular seasons. Even with the Rams, when he was with the Rams at the time, with the Rams, he was 7-7 as a starter with the Rams. Add that in with him being 11-3 with the Vikings, you know, that MVP-ish type of season. So, and Colt McCoy's best season, Colt McCoy's record as a starter isn't good at all. But again, if you look at this fan base, you would think that Colt McCoy is 10 times better than Case Keenum to a lot of people.
I mean, in this town, the most popular athlete is the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
It always has been for my 37 years. Mm-hmm. It always will continue to be.
Yeah.
Outside of that one season when RG3 was, you know.
Yeah, but then they still
set the league on fire.
But they were still trying to kind of phase Kirk Cousins even that season, little by little.
I mean, yeah.
After the
coaching staff, but I think the fan base.
Oh, yeah, I agree. The majority of the fan base. Yeah,
the majority of the fan base.
I mean, Colt McCoy.
I just don't.
No, go after you.
I just don't. This is another. I'm not going to say it's confusing for me, but it's just another Band-Aid, right?
Yeah, it's a Band-Aid.
You as a fan.
Yes.
You see these Band-Aids getting placed. Yeah. You're saying, okay, it's like someone who has a I don't know. I can't think of anything now, but it's like if someone has like a TV,
right? Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like a remote, a TV remote, okay. and the bottom keeps falling off. Okay. All you do is you just keep putting
taping
another piece of tape
and trying to keep it.
Keep taping, rather than just going out and get you another remote.
Or trying to rotate the battery
when the battery's gone. Yeah, you know exactly what I mean. You got to rotate the battery. get a little bit of more juice.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be like, like rotate. You gotta bang the battery. Try to rotate.
You freeze the battery. Just go out and get some new batteries and get another bottom to the remote, man. Yeah. And you know the fan base. I would almost be if I were a fan such as yourself. I would almost be insulted because they keep doing it. They keep pushing this on us year after year. Selling us on veteran quarterback we get for, you know, he's going to come in and he's going to change things for us. No, you need to look to develop. You need if this is a as good as a front office as you think that it is, they would look to find a quarterback and develop a quarterback, a younger quarterback, and, you know, And either this draft or the next draft, it doesn't have to be a first round pick, a 5-star quarterback. But, you know, you find a quarterback, you can find a quarterback and develop him and get him to the level of a competency of a Colt McCoy
or a Case Keenum. No, I agree with that. And I think that's the plan. I think the plan is to definitely draft a quarterback in this draft. They're definitely not done. But what I'm saying is that if you're going to go into the season, you're going into the season, Case Keenum. Or Colt McCoy, who would you have to start? If it's a rookie, obviously you're going to have to start one of those two. You're not going to start the rookie, especially in this draft class. It's not like you're going to get a Dwayne Haskins or you're going to get a Kyler Murray. You're not going to get one of those two guys. But if they get Josh Rosen, again, it goes to the Josh Rosen's a better starter than both of these dudes, even as young as he is. But
let me ask you that. Even if they got Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Would you be excited and say, okay, we have our
Yeah, I would. Long term. I would. I've always
12-year quarterback.
Yeah, I've always. If you know me, I've always been a fan of Josh Rosen. I think Josh Rosen. I've watched Josh Rosen in college for a while. Like in college, in terms of what he brings to the table as a quarterback, a pro style quarterback, to me, I think he has all the tools to be a stud in the NFL. UCLA didn't give him any talent. Other than his freshman year, they gave him no talent, and he still the things he could do with the football was amazing. But again, I'm not sure if that's really going to be in play. I kind of think Arizona's BSing, to be honest with you. I don't think they're really going to trade Josh Rosen. I think they're just doing that to posture to see what they can get if folks want to trade up or whatnot. So I think they're just posturing for whatever. But I'm with you to a certain extent. Like, this is a Band-Aid. Like, it is. It is what it is because of Alex Smith and the situation with Alex Smith being hurt. You have to kind of find somebody to compete with Colt McCoy, and that's Case Keenum. And the only reason why, and it's funny, when this deal came out, we were texting each other. I was like, I was angry. But then when I saw the deal come out for like the money, it was what it was for. Because you know I wanted Teddy, and Teddy decided to re-sign with the Saints. I wanted Teddy, but it was 3.5. I was like, all right, 3.5 for a starting for a quarterback that you play, that you may start, and you're already handcuffed. It's probably the best you're going to get unless you get a rookie, you know what I mean? Unless you get a stud young boy that's on a rookie deal.
Case Keenum just doesn't elicit a lot of excitement or
but,
hope.
But I agree with you.
You know, if I'm a fan of this team,
mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just another.
But what? But he shouldn't though. It's Case Keenum.
It's Case Keenum.
Like,
yes.
Let's be real. Like, he's like Case Keenum was only good. Like, he was good. I guess, like I said before, he was 7-7 with the Rams.
Well,
as
let
a
me
starter.
Ask you this.
Go ahead.
Do you think Case Keenum gives you as much or more than Alex Smith gave you last year?
No, Alex Smith is better than Case Keenum.
No, I'm I'm not saying, I'm not asking who's better.
Who gave
I'm
you?
Asking,
no.
Based on what Alex Smith gave you last year prior to the injury.
No.
Do you think Case Keenum gives you as much or more than Alex Smith?
I'm saying no.
Okay.
I'm honest. Like, I'm not a believer in Case Keenum, but I am a believer that Case Keenum is probably better than Colt McCoy.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'll say this much. Is watching, if you watch Case Keenum in all your years in the NFL, I'm just watching the NFL. If I'm Josh Dotson, if I'm a guy who hasn't produced or whatever, I'm excited that Case Keenum will give me the opportunity to just get the ball. He'll give me an opportunity. If I'm not open, he'll just throw it up. Because any wide receiver, all you want is to what?
Somebody's
get an opportunity. So if I'm him,
but
I'm excited.
Josh Dotson has to get open first.
My point is that he may not even have to do that. But with Case Keenum as your quarterback, just throw it up.
Do you think Josh Dotson has the ability to go get a
not
jump
even
ball?
Saying that. Not even saying that he has the
ability. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like when you play when you're a kid, right? You play football, right? And some people just wing it. They just throw it up. And you just get boosted. It's coming your direction. He will get football during his direction, even when he's not open.
I hear you.
He will never be complained. He should never be angry that he's not targeted. Put it that way.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? But Colt McCoy targeted him too, though. So I can't even play that off. But post the same question about the two quarterbacks on social media on Facebook. Host of the Sex Travel Sports Food Podcast, Cornbread, posted, "I'm rooting for Josh Johnson." Yes.
What's the name of that podcast?
Can we say it again?
Yes.
Sex Travel Sports Food Podcast.
Interesting name.
That's my man Cornbread. He said, "I'm rooting for Josh Johnson." I think it's unfair to Josh Johnson to get an opportunity to compete for this job. Obviously, he won't be on the Skins roster. George on Facebook, what's up, my man? George posted, "With Colt McCoy coming off a leg injury today, yes, but that's what training camp and preseason will sort out for us." On Twitter, @KOTS_sports talk tweeted, "He's currently better than anyone else we have." So yeah, I think he should. He could. I think Case Keenum, if this team is it is what it is right now, Case Keenum will probably be the starter for the Skins, barring again a trade for Josh Rosen. That's just my opinion. But up next, Antonio Brown was traded.
Football heavy.
I know, we real football,
we're football,
football,
football heavy.
I know. Antonio Brown was traded to the Oakland Raiders. You know what I'm
saying? Odell Beckham Jr. was traded to the Browns.
We're going
to
talk about both of that stuff after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Saints.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Yeah. You know what it is. Black and silver, black and silver, black and silver, black and silver. Black and silver, black and silver, black and silver, black and silver. Yeah.
Big, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, Ray Jeezy's out. First, the Oakland Raiders traded their third and fifth round picks for Pittsburgh. Let me say it again. Their third and fifth round picks for the Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. AB will get an increase from $38.925 million to $50.125 million. No years were added to the deal. Is this a good fit for the Oakland Raiders?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Here's why. Currently, the Oakland Raiders will be going to Las Vegas in another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That roster is currently constructed, didn't have any star power. You didn't have anybody that fans were excited to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be hard for me to believe that Antonio Brown will have fallen off in 2 years when this team gets to Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got that aspect of it. Then Derek Carr. Derek Carr, he had one great season where everyone thought that he was going to be he was moving into that upper echelon of those next great quarterbacks. But then, you know, his game is statistically, he's regressed.
Last year was not bad statistically, but it wasn't like.
It wasn't the year. Now, if you're John Gruden, you can fully analyze Derek Carr and see if he's really the guy that you want long term, because he now has an elite number one receiver on the outside, a guy who dictates coverage. It's going to command a double team and it's going to make things a little bit easier for the rest of receiving core.
Yeah.
And also in the run game, because you're probably not going to be able to move a safety that close to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So, and plus you get him for a third and a fifth round pick.
That's what it is, man.
The best, arguably, I like Julio, best receiver in football for a third and a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Come on, man. If you Oakland, you have to love everything about this trade.
I mean, you have to love the trade. You mentioned Derek Carr. I'm with you. Derek Carr can get back to his 2016 form, where he was like an MVP candidate before that injury. This is a win. And also, I mean, if let's say like his former teammate, if Martavis Bryant can get out, you know, if he gets his suspension lifted and is able to, you know, come back in training camp, you know, that opens things up. Then you add in with Jared Cook. So now Carr has so many weapons in terms of, you know, weapons in terms of pass catching players. So you got it. And that frees up for Antonio Brown, because now you can't focus on Antonio Brown. If you do have a Bryant who's reinstated and Cook, you can't double on Antonio Brown. And that's going to make Carr better. So I like the move in terms of the versatility for the Oakland Raiders offense. But for some strange reason, I don't trust Chucky, though. I think Chucky is just something else. I don't trust Chucky.
Why not?
I think he's grossly overrated as a coach. I think people, because that one Super Bowl he got with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tony Dungy's team.
Make sure you say that.
Oh, I do it all the time, bro. And what they saw on Monday Night Football, people have John Gruden as like one of the like a Mike Martz or even a McVay type of, you know, offensive genius. And to me, he's solid, but he's not a guy that automatically, when you think of John Gruden, you think of championships, you think of one of the best coaches in the game. I don't think that. He's paid more than Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? I don't think of John Gruden that way.
All fair points. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the flip side of this, though. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Get rid of...
A.B.
Best, arguably, if not the best, the second best. 1A or 1B.
Yeah.
Receiver in football.
I like A.J.
Right?
Green, too. That's one of my dudes, too.
Okay. I mean, you like a lot of guys. You thought that he was a locker room nuisance or locker room cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You sided with the quarterback. Even the GM came out and said, hey, the quarter, it's like he has 52 kids. I thought that was
some stupid.
I thought that was very
stupid.
Very stupid. But it's here, like, you are. You decide to side with the quarterback. They have Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah. I like Juju, and Juju.
They have Jesse Washington.
James Washington. Who I like, too.
So, I mean, it looks like it's a new era in Pittsburgh Steelers football. Yeah. You know, there won't be Le'Veon Bell. You won't have A.B. Yep. The only guy you'll have is Ben Roethlisberger.
In terms of the vets.
So, this is Ben Roethlisberger's team.
You have Pouncey. Still got Pouncey.
You have Pouncey, but...
It's a center, I know.
Yeah. So, this is really his team now. So, you know, it's the guys who... Some could say Ben helped develop to become superstars. I won't say that.
No, I think the system more than anything. I will say this, though. And I think we talked about this last week. It's Pittsburgh still the wide receivers. Haven't been the same outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They've been good. Some have been solid, but they haven't been the same. Plexico has been the same, pretty much the same. But other than Plex, they haven't had a long run of, you know, of being top of the game. Like they were in Pittsburgh.
So we'll see. Was it the quarterback? Was it the wide receiver? Which one? Who?
It's up to AB.
It's up to AD. It's up to him now. And I fully believe and expect for him to shine.
I expect for him to shine. No, I do expect for him to shine. But let's go to what just went down. Odell Beckham Jr., now Cleveland Brown. He's teamed up with his boy, Landry. Now they both can make weird videos and do weird dances and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be fun in Cleveland. You know, Baker Mayfield, Landry.
They're exciting.
Odell Beckham Jr. They're
exciting.
It's an exciting team.
Chubb. You got Bradley. Chubb.
You got Bradley.
Not Bradley Chubb. I'm sorry. Nick Chubb.
You got Nick Chubb. And you have Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt.
And David Njoku, the tight end.
Yeah, they have an exciting team. Can you mention, like, so what was the trade again?
It was a first, a third, and Jabril Peppers.
Look, man.
Compared to...
They got what they got. Some good compensation.
The Giants got excellent compensation.
It's different from what the Pittsburgh Steelers got from the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, we may be seeing a change in the guard of the AFC North.
Yeah.
You know,
because the Ravens are now going down, which they lost. They lost Weddle.
Weddle, and they lost the other guy who was their led them in sacks last year. Davis, I think. I forgot his name.
Okay. So, I mean, Joe Flacco's not there anymore.
Ozzie Newsom's no more there no more. So, this is a team in transition. The one thing that they do have that's consistent is John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And you also have Eric DaCosta, who was the longtime lieutenant to Ozzie Newsom. So, maybe, you know, that team is transitioning. The Pittsburgh Steelers, hey, they don't have their two-star. Well, they didn't have their running back last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely don't have the two guys that over the last 4 to 5 years were elite talents, probably the first or second best players at their position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Ben Roethlisberger, who, let's be honest, up to a couple of years ago, didn't look that great.
No, he didn't. Big Ben has always had that time. He's always been a guy that, to me, that it's been streaky.
Yeah.
You know, he starts off slow, then all of a sudden he gets real hot, then he kind of just evens out.
And then Cincinnati.
They lost it. I mean, Marvin, maybe better without Marvin. Who knows? Andy Dalton. There's still talks about them changing quarterbacks. Andy Dalton may not be their quarterback anymore. I mean, still have a talented wide receiver, AJ Green, running back. The kid from Oklahoma. His name is kind of is elusive.
Dixon.
Right? Dixon. Thank you, Dixon. Boyd. Looks like a young up and coming wide receiver who plays alongside of AJ Green. I mean, they have talent. Just need a quarterback.
They have talent. Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting.
Cincinnati always has talent, though.
Yeah.
It always has talent. But I think Cleveland, to me, if you want to keep it 100. Cleveland is definitely the most talented team right now in the AFC North.
I know what. I know one thing for sure.
What was up?
I drafted Baker Mayfield. Well, I picked up Baker Mayfield off the free agent.
Is it keeper league?
In my keeper
league. Oh, you did. You living the dream.
Yes, I will have Baker Mayfield as my keeper for next year.
He is living the dream. All right. We're in March, right?
Yep.
It's a great time, right? There's a conference tournament. North Kentucky versus Wright State. And it's the Horizon League Championship. North Kentucky's up 70-50. Who cares? But who has the better chance to win their conference tourney, the Maryland Terps or the Georgetown Hoyas? We'll discuss that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wally, Ray, Gigi's out. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show, so make sure you check them out. In the Big East tournament quarterfinals, the sixth seed Hoyas, Georgetown Hoyas, take on the Seton Hall Pirates in the Garden. And in the second round of the Big Ten tourney, the fifth seed Maryland Terps will play the winner of the Nebraska Rutgers game. Between the two teams, who has the best chance to win their conference tourney?
I'm gonna go with Georgetown.
All right, I agree with you, but it's not. I'm not saying this as a biased individual, but I don't hear your point.
I'm just looking at it very objectively.
Yeah.
That Big East tournament is not a top heavy.
There you go. That's why. It's a weak as hell.
I'm not going to call it a weak, but it
ain't the old Big East, bro.
Yeah, it's not the old Big East where it was juggernauts at the top of that division.
It's only Marquette and Nova. That's the only two good teams for real.
And even those two teams haven't looked the greatest this year, right?
Yeah.
So it is very probable that Georgetown could go on a run and get hot and in the Big East tournament and win three or four.
Don't play that many. They'll be in the quarters. So they're in the quarters. They win the quarters. They'll be in the semis and the finals. Three games.
Win three games over the course of 3 days and make it to the and be crowned the Big East champion and get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So I think it's far more probable that they do it than Maryland, who has to go through Michigan,
State, Wisconsin. They need a lot.
Yeah. So just naming those three teams right there, those are three nationally ranked teams that's played relatively consistent all year. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Georgetown.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going with the Hoyas. I feel that the Hoyas have the best chance because they are in a weaker conference. It is what it is. I mean, the Big Ten is arguably the best conference in college basketball. Excuse me. Also, it's a must win for the Hoyas.
I go to ACC.
It's a must. Well, you know what? The ACC. I like Carolina, Duke, Virginia. I take that back. I agree with you.
Carolina, Duke Virginia, Florida State.
No, I'm with you. When you're looking at, say, the Hoyas, what they have to go through, you mentioned it. They have to go through pretty much Nova, Marquette. They got Seton Hall. If they can beat Seton Hall, they'll probably play Marquette. They just beat Marquette, in Marquette. So, and then they would play Nova in the finals. And again, I mentioned it before. The Hoyas, this is a must win for the Hoyas. This is a big thing. This is a big time tournament for the Hoyas. For Maryland, they're already in. They're not a bubble team. The Hoyas are a bubble team. They have to win. To me, they have to get to the conference finals to even be talked about being in the tournament. If they make the conference finals, I feel like they have an opportunity to get into the big dance. If they don't, they're out. So I feel like there's so much pressure on the Hoyas. Therefore, when there's pressure in the tournament, kids play harder, kids play tougher. But when you already know you're already in, it's different. I feel like that, too, will play a part in terms of between the two teams of who's going to win their conference tournaments.
I'm just looking at the standings. Villanova 13-5, yeah. 22-9 overall. Mm-hmm. Come on a one game, you know, not really a streak.
But yeah.
One game, you know, Marquette four game coming losing streak. Seton Hall had a two game winning streak, 9-9 in the conference. This is a totally winnable tournament for Georgetown.
Yeah.
You know, if Patrick Ewan wants to get that excitement, that Hoya paranoia going back again. Uh-huh. He definitely has an opportunity with this Big East tournament to re-galvanize the program and bring them to and get people excited again about Georgetown basketball.
It's in the Garden. I mean, he played for the New York Knicks, man. He should get his kids pumped. I'm not gonna say if he can't. He should get his kids pumped. But looking on the flip side, looking at Maryland, Maryland has to play if they get past the first round. Say they beat Rutgers or whoever. They play Wisconsin, like you mentioned. That's a tough team. You know what I mean? They split with Wisconsin this season. Then if they get past Wisconsin, likely to play Michigan State. Michigan State is tough. They split. Michigan State beat them last over. I think they're gonna play Michigan State once. Michigan State already beat them. And then you mentioned Michigan. And we already saw what Michigan did to Michigan has done to Maryland at Infinity Center and also up in Ann Arbor. So Michigan. Like Maryland has it tough. Like Maryland definitely has it tough. They need their studs to step up. They need Bruno Fernando to step up, being a force. They need that young diaper dandy type of player, Jalen Smith, to step up. Obviously, they need great point guard play from Cowan. They need all this for them to get past to win this conference tournament. But it's just too hard, man. It's just way too hard.
Not a whole lot to add to sum it up. I believe Patrick Ewan. He can, you know. I think this is his moment to re-galvanize this program.
Yeah.
He has a great opportunity in the Garden, the Mecca of basketball.
The Mecca.
Yeah, it's considered the Mecca of basketball.
I know, and it's crazy because New York.
But rather fair or unfair, it's considered the Mecca.
It is
of basketball.
No. People love playing in New York,
and it's the place that he became a NBA Hall of Famer and a legend.
All right.
One of the 50 best greatest players in the NBA. So I think it's an excellent opportunity. I hope the Hoyas
are ready for it.
And I'm just ready for a good weekend of college basketball.
Me too, man. Jesse Govander, you're a senior. You got to step up, bro. Pat needs to inject some Patrick Ewing in you. Also, Trey Mourner, Alonzo's son. Be like your dad because your dad was an animal. I can't. Have your dad's passion. I don't want to carry you on this show, but have your dad's passion, bro. Just have your dad's passion.
I mean, it's always hard to live up to.
It's so hard, but you know what? I was talking to somebody, I was hooping, and I was talking to somebody about Georgetown, and I said this, like, I don't need you to be as talented as though. Like, I think that's unfair. You know what I mean? Like, that's unfair.
Yeah.
But passion is different, though. That's different. Like, the toughness, you can have your father's toughness. You don't have your father's toughness. You know what I mean? And again, it's everybody ain't going to be like their parents or whatever, but I at least expected that. But anyway, Quarterly Report podcast host Armand Lee will join the show to discuss the Spencer Garcia fight after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man.
Don't you dare stare.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. Will T's out. You know, Will T was, he was feeling sick, man. So I had to make sure Will T was good. And you listen to L. Cool J, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to knock you out. Mama said knock you out. That's my boxing thing for the boxing segment. But right now we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast and the homie Armand Lee on the line. What's going on, Armand?
Wally, what's going on, bro, man? I got the call from you earlier this weekend talking about boxing, so I was like, yo, let's get it, this, man. I can't wait to this Saturday night, man.
Armand, you know, my brother's going to the fight. He's going to
the fight. Oh, I know.
Yes, he's going. He's going to Jerry World to see this fight, man. Oh, my God, I'm excited for this fight. I'm super excited, man.
I mean, first off, I've never been to Jerry World, so I can only imagine how it looks like for a fight as opposed to a football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks as if it's like a big event type of stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath that big board, the big screen, I can just imagine, you know what I'm saying? There's no bad seat in the house to watch a fight. I'm surprised there's not more fights at Jerry World, because
I think it will
be the big screen. It would be perfect.
I think it will be. I think that little by little is growing. I think little by little, you know, Manny,
right.
They were trying to get, I think it was Manny and Floyd was one of the venues they were thinking about fighting at.
Yeah,
initially.
I know. Cause yeah, back in the day, I know Manny fought, Claudia. He fought somebody at Jerry World.
Yeah.
When it first started,
mm-hmm.
when it first opened, I should say. But yeah, man, it's an amazing stadium, and I can only imagine. Like I said, there's no bad seat in the house. So
yeah.
Saturday night, man, I'm ready.
Yo, so Saturday, Armand's already put it out there. Saturday in Dallas, Errol Spence Jr. is putting his IBF welterweight title on the line against Mikey Garcia. All right, man. So what do you want to see early in this fight? Like, what are you looking for early in this fight?
Early in this fight, man, I'm going to be looking at Mikey. You know
okay.
what I mean? You and I have talked about this even personally, mm-hmm. not even on the show.
Yeah.
We've got so much respect for Mike.
So much.
Because in a sport where everybody seems to be avoiding the fights that everybody knows should be made, where everybody seems to try to protect their zero and their win-loss column, Mikey was like, dog, look, let me just get the best fight. Personally, I think Spence is one of the three best fighters in the world.
Yeah.
I know people knock him because of his inactivity, but the only reason he's inactive is because nobody wants to fight him.
Yes.
So I can't knock him for that.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question again, man, I'm just going to be focused on Mikey. He's moving up multiple classes in weight. He's never fought at 147.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fighting a welterweight who in reality is a huge welterweight.
A huge,
you know what I mean?
Welterweight, yes.
Like he's a middleweight, you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? So I'm just going to be focused on Mikey, his activity, how he handles the punches, and Spence's body shots, because Spence's body game is one of the best in the sport. And I don't know, man. I admire Mikey's ambition, but I question his decision making.
I know, right? But you know what? We talked about this before, like you mentioned, like non-podcast stuff, like just on a personal level. And
right.
You just can't be mad at Mikey for wanting to be great. Like, that's my thing. It's like the thirst to be great, like in any sport, like or anything you do, any passion. Some people in life, they fear to be great. Like, they don't want to be great. Like, they say it, but they don't want to put in the work. Like, Mikey is like, you know what, by any means necessary. You say this dude the best. You say this dude one of the best boxers out there. I want him. Like, I want him. I had this argument with somebody on Twitter, and he was like, yeah, Mikey, you said Mikey wants to be great. Well, Mikey was ducking, he ducked Crawford, he ducked Lomachenko. I said, he ducked Mikey, ducked Lomachenko? Did you not read up?
Yeah,
Lomo didn't want it.
Yeah, this is the thing, man. And, you know, as someone like myself, like you are, who loves the sport of boxing, the divisions in the sport, it really hurts itself, man.
Yes.
Because Lomachenko, in my opinion, is the best fighter in the world.
Agreed, yes.
I'd much rather see Mikey fight Lomachenko.
Yes.
The fight is competitive and mm-hmm. compelling, and there is no huge weight disadvantage. I mean, I'll say this. If Mikey wins on Saturday, there's no debate. He's the best fighter. Number one pound.
Exactly, right?
What he's doing, think of it, for like 5+ years.
Mm-hmm.
Keith hasn't wanted smoke with Errol. Danny Garcia hasn't wanted smoke with Errol.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Porter still to this day doesn't want smoke with Errol. It's like, of the top quality fighters, all of them avoid him.
Yes.
And Mikey was like, bet, I'll move up 2+ weight classes to fight this guy.
Mm-hmm.
In his hometown. without ever fighting at that class before.
Yes.
I admire, he wants to be great, like you said, but they've got weight classes for a reason.
I agree, man. look, Armand, I agree with you.
I just don't know how it works.
We're the same way. Like, we root for, we root for Mikey, right? We move for Mikey.
Right.
But boy, you going against a lion, bruh. Like, it's different. You a cub. You going against a lion. Like, this is different. This is a different monster, bruh.
It's nuts, man. I you know, because sometimes when you talk to someone who really loves boxing,
mm-hmm.
and you're around other sports fans, you know, boxing, everybody acts like they know the sport.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody, you know, sometimes people just catch the big-time fights, the casual fights.
Uh-huh.
I think for all your listeners who may not necessarily be a huge boxing fan, it's important to note, everybody knows Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, one of the best power punchers in the
yes.
sport.
Mm-hmm.
When Gennady Golovkin fought Kell Brook, Kell Brook moved up to Gennady Golovkin's weight class. Weight classes higher.
Yes.
And Gennady Golovkin, one of the best punchers in the sport, broke Kell Brook's eye.
Yes.
He broke it.
Yes.
Kell Brook's next fight, he moved back down to his welterweight weight class where he was a champion and
mm-hmm.
fought Errol Spence.
Mm-hmm.
Errol Spence, several weight classes below Gennady Golovkin, broke Kell Brook's other eye. That lets you
know
how strong and how big of a puncher Errol Spence is. His power is like that of Gennady Golovkin. And
mm-hmm.
Kell Brook is no slouch.
At all.
Kell Brook was a former champion, mm-hmm. beat Sean Porter in a very good fight.
Mm-hmm.
But that lets you know the type of power Errol Spence has, that he does the same type of damage as Gennady Golovkin, but in multiple weight classes lower. Mikey, I know he's going to have a great game plan. He's an amazing boxer. He's a smart technician. But, man, he is stepping. We saw the video of the lady jumping in the Jaguar thing at the zoo.
Yeah.
That's what Mikey's doing.
Exactly.
Jumping in to the gym with the Jaguar, Slim. And everybody's like, Slim, don't do it.
Don't do it. Reconsider. They like, reconsider.
Like Lomachenko.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's the fight. That's the fight. Like, the Lomachenko fight is the fight that Mikey should be fighting. You know what I mean? Like, that's the fight he should be fighting. But, again,
yeah.
I'm not going to knock him fan. I'm like, yo, I'm loving you. Like, as a fan of boxing, I'm loving you, bro.
Right. Look, I haven't felt this excited for a fight in a while. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Fury Wilder.
It was cool.
It overperformed.
Yeah,
I had very low expectations.
I'm with you.
And,
mm-hmm.
Right. It passed with flying colors. But the build up to this fight, even though I don't think it's going to be a competitive fight.
Okay.
I'm still excited because you're getting two, in my opinion, of the best five fighters in the world. And again, I don't blame Mikey for the Lomachenko fight not happening.
Yeah.
And anybody who knows anything about Bob Arum, you know
exactly.
how and Lomachenko is alongside Terrence Crawford, his two crown. Oh, well, he's got Tyson Fury now too.
Yeah.
But those are his three kind of mm-hmm. prized fighters. So he's not going to risk them at the expense, especially at. For Al Haymon fight.
Exactly. That's what I try to tell this dude.
So,
yes.
Exactly. So I'm not mad at Mikey for the Lomachenko fight not happening. I just hope that he doesn't put himself in jeopardy. Because, again, Kell hasn't. Think about it. Look at the last fighters that Spence has fought.
Mm-hmm.
Amir Khan been calling Kell every name under the sun. Kell doesn't want it. Right? We ain't Kell forever. I love Lamont.
Lamont. Oh, God.
Man.
Oh, God.
Lamont, where he been? Dog, he's in Vienna. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Lamont. You know? And then Chris Alzieri, you know, come on now. But these are fighters who are accomplished, who when they fight Spence, they go MIA.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So Mikey has to be careful.
No, I'm with you. Like, Lamont got that work. And I love Lamont. I'm like you. I know his brother. Like, I love Lamont. But
good dude.
Good
great
dude.
Fighter.
Really good dude.
Dude.
Good boxer. But, man,
right.
It was a different class. When he fought Earl, it was just a different class, man. It was just a different class. And, like you say, Kell Brook, against Triple G, when before Triple G had messed up his eye, Kell Brook was in that fight.
Kell Brook was still fighting.
Yeah, he was in that fight. Again, Spence, different monster. So I'm just saying, at the end of the day, like, this boy Earl, like, is a different breed, bruh. It's a different breed. So, like, you fear for Mikey. Like, I appreciate Mikey, but I fear for him. So, to go back a little bit, so what does Mikey need to do to win this fight then? Like, what would be your strategy if you were like Mikey?
Well, I mean, you know, Mikey is a taller guy. So obviously you want to work the jab. I actually think Mikey may have the reach on Spence.
I think Mikey may have the reach on Spence.
So obviously Mikey has to stay moving. He can't settle down at all. Mm-hmm. Mikey is an amazing fighter, and he does have power at his normal weight. I don't know, but he's not like a bruising knockout, you know, specialist. So obviously, and I'm assuming that this is what he's going through in his training. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be looking for the power shots. He's obviously, you know, sticking and moving, continuously moving his head, feinting, moving his feet, but he can't get on the ropes. And you know, with Spence, people, and myself, I fall victim to this as well. So often when we talk about Spence, we talk about his power, because his power is literally, like, it is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't shortchange how amazing a boxer he is as well.
Agreed.
So many people just think of him as a puncher, but he's not a Deontay Wilder. He's not one of these James Kirkland. You know what I mean? He's a
boxer.
He is a boxer puncher. You know what I mean? So he works the body, and you know, Mikey's just going to have to be disciplined and, you know, avoid the big shots. But I don't know. I don't know how he does it.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wally, myself. Will T just dipped out on me. Right now we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armali, on the line. So what should Spence's game plan be to win this fight? Just kind of go to the body, do his normal thing, just impose his will?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Spence, you know, it's a hometown crowd. It's his first pay-per-view fight. You know, all eyes are looking on him, mm-hmm. whether it's Keith, Bud, Sean. He's got to make a statement. So if I'm Spence, man, I don't do anything different. You know, I do the same thing I did for Lamont, and I don't know if you guys have been watching the PBC kind of shows that they've been putting
on. Yeah, I've been watching a couple of them. I haven't watched all of them. Yeah. I saw the one with Porter, but I didn't watch all of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Spence said, he's like, look, man, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to. Spence doesn't need to change his game.
He doesn't.
Or his strategy for Mikey.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Mikey. Again, Mikey's one of the best fighters in the world. But Mikey's moving up to fight him. And Spence is the stronger fighter. I think he's the quicker fighter. So if I'm Spence, you know, continue to do. I mean, what he did with Lamont, I think, would be a perfect strategy. You know, work the body early. You know Mikey's going to be thinking and focused on protecting his body. So they're going to be the chin shots available as well. And Spence has amazing hand speed. Again, as long as Spence doesn't overlook Mikey, and I don't see him doing that.
You don't think so?
Again, this is a huge statement for him, a huge platform. He obviously wants big fights to continue, especially a key fight and a potential Crawford fight. You know, just stay focused, man. And if he puts on a show and gets him out of there, you know, the better for him.
Do you think it's kind of a negative for him to be fighting at home against a guy like a Mikey Garcia, knowing that he's going to try to put on a show? Because sometimes that can open things up.
From everything that I've seen from Spence, he never really strikes me as the cocky, the too arrogant, the guy who doesn't take his craft seriously. You never know. Again, this is his first pay-per-view fight, so he may get the... I mean, actually, you know what? I take that back, because Spence went to the UK to fight Kell. You know, he was public, you know, like, and he put on the show,
mm-hmm.
in a competitive fight. So, and it was a highly contested, very close fight toward the end. And then Spence put him down. But so, you know, I don't have any doubts on Spence's focus and him looking over Mike, or taking Mike lightly. I don't worry about that.
All right, so it's a two part question then. Who? I mean, obviously, I already know. I can tell you who you have winning, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because it's the proper thing to do. Who do you have winning, and could this be fight of the year?
Man, the way Eddie Hearn and DAZN are building that middleweight class right now,
I know.
It's going to be fight of the year. We got some huge potential, you know, middleweight showdowns down the line. So I don't know if this is going to be fight of the year. If it is, then that means Mikey put on a hell of a show.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think Spence wins by TKO. Uh-huh. I think around the fifth or sixth round, I just think the corner's going to... Because we got to remember, Mikey's corner didn't want him taking this fight anyway.
Yeah, I got you.
And I don't think Mikey's going to quit, obviously. But
he's not.
I think there's a potential high-risk danger zone opportunity where midway through this fight, I think Spence kind of unloads on him. Uh-huh. And I think the corner or the ref stops the fight because, again, man, Mikey, his future is so bright and there's so many big-time fights for him.
Mm-hmm.
I worry. So I got Spence in 7.
All right, so this is the thing. I have Spence winning. I have Spence in 10. I do have Spence in 10. I do think Mikey's going to put. I think Mikey's going to test Spence though. I think he's going to test him. I think it has the opportunity to be fire of the year. I really do, and because it's so much online, I think it has the opportunity to be fire of the year. I just can't doubt Mikey's heart is so vicious to me. I'm sorry, it's just so vicious to me. So I think because of Mikey's heart, it goes 10. But I wouldn't be surprised if it went 12. And I think with Spence is going to win the fight. I have Spence win the fight regardless, but I think Mikey, he has a lot on the line too at the same time. If Mikey wins this fight, he can be like the next Oscar De La Hoya. Like, it's so much on the line for Mikey right now on a different – I mean, there's no – in a way, there's, like, no pressure because no one really expects Mikey to win. But on the flip side, there is some pressure that if he wins this fight, he could be as big as Oscar.
Yeah, it's a weird situation that Mikey finds himself in, right? Because I'm with you. I do think that it is a win-win situation, no pressure situation for Mikey. But it's easy for us to say because our bodies aren't going to be the ones.
Exactly.
I mean, Mikey, I mean, he's got the look. He's got the charisma.
Yeah.
He's obviously a Mexican-American, so he's got that going for him. And, you know, he's next one up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mexican fighters, I mean, the Mexican fan base is a huge fan base in terms of boxing. They're really the live force. The North American boxing fans, you know what I mean? So he has a huge opportunity. He's going to be fighting in Texas, which is a huge deal for him.
That too. I didn't think about that. Texas is like, even that, that may be Earl's hometown, but it's a big Mexican following, Latin following in Texas. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
There is going to be pressure there. And again, I don't think Spence is just going to, you know, embarrass him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But everybody also understands the dynamics and the situation at hand and at play. And there's so much respect for Mikey. Again, if Mikey wins this fight, hell, if Mikey goes 12 rounds versus Spence, we're like literally thinking, I think that Mikey should be number one pound for pound.
I agree with you.
You know, I mean, the risk? The high risk. I mean, he's like you said, he's stepping into a lion's den, moving up in weight class. He's taking the challenge in a sport where so many guys are avoiding the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think he has to win. It's a very much of a Rocky situation. You know, he doesn't have to win to come out the winner.
Got you. Like Rocky versus Creed 1. I totally agree with you. So if Spence wins this fight, do you expect for us to get more talk about Spence Crawford? I mean, because we know Bob Arum now. We know this is like, chances are that won't happen because of Bob Arum. But do you think this forces Bob Arum's hand?
Honestly, I think whatever, if Spence Crawford were to happen, I think we would know more about the potential of that after Crawford Con, right? Because that's going to be a pay-per-view fight as well.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, Bud has already been on pay-per-view before and he had really, really bad numbers.
Yeah.
You know, several years ago. So, you know, he could have generated more. I'd be interested in seeing what this fight does in terms of buys. If it does very well or even reasonably well, I think the likelihood of a Spence Crawford fight diminishes even more. And you and I have talked about this. I don't think that fight happens anyway.
Me either. I don't think either.
I don't think that Con Crawford is going to generate the level of excitement, at least stateside.
Yeah.
That Spence Mikey will, and ultimately in a bargaining negotiation, if Spence is coming as the A side, I mean, Bud and Spence can't agree on who's A side in their fight. You know what I mean? And I think Spence should be at 147, but you know, I think what happens between Khan and Bud will be far more telling in terms of the likelihood of a Spence Bud fight than whatever happens between Spence and Mikey.
I'll keep it a buck. I think Spence, in terms of pay-per-view buys, at the moment, he seems like he has the edge on Bud at the moment.
Right.
It is. I mean, I think Garcia, even for like boxing novice are more like intrigued about this fight. You know, that's what you want. You want to get the folks who aren't about boxing, right? I think this fight tends to is like kind of swaying that you know that boxing fan who that sports fan who may not be big into boxing. Like, oh, this fight looks like a good one. Let me watch this fight. Now, when Bud went pay per view, people were like, "Who's Bud fighting?" And I think Al Haymon did a poor job with that too. And that's a whole different subject.
Yeah.
Because you had Bud fight on pay per view against somebody nobody cared about. If you're gonna do it,
well, that's the thing. I mean, Paul Fall is a good fighter.
Yeah, he's a good fighter. Yeah.
He's rusted.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you gotta have and to be on the pay per view. See, this is the thing, in my opinion. If you're going to have a pay-per-view fight for Bud Crawford, because now you're trying to put him into another realm, right? That's your goal. Like, that's why you're putting pay-per-view. You have to have him fight somebody. The guy doesn't have to be that great, but he has to want. If he is good, he has to have real sizzle. Not just being a solid boxer, he has to have sizzle. Or he has to have draw. You know, a real draw.
Right.
It could be like bum-ass Adrian Broner. Like, seriously, I'm being dead serious.
Somebody who right.
Yeah, exactly. That's why Khan works. You know what I mean? If he had did this Khan fight earlier, I think that would have worked. He should have did this fight earlier. And I think it would have kind of helped him out a little bit.
And, you know, and this is one thing where I will shoot Arum and Bud some belts. Bob wanted Crawford to fight Pacquiao for like the last 2 years.
Yeah, everybody knows
and
that.
And that would have been the perfect kind
That's of perfect. That would
springboard. But Pacquiao's not stupid. Pacquao knows that Bud will tear him up.
Yeah, he ain't dumb. he ain't dumb. And also, Mayweather got Pacquiao hip too. So, like, he knows that Arum is trying to use him. Like, so Mayweather got Pacquiao hip too. So it was a lot going on.
And then not only that, this is one of the reasons why I think Hal Haymon deserves credit. You know, the last fight Mikey had was against Adrian Broner, a huge draw.
Yes.
So now you have Mikey, who's not only a Mexican-American, so he's bringing the most rabid boxing fans in North America with him.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of American fans have seen Mikey recently when he fought Adrian Broner.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have one of your kind of marquee fighters in terms of Errol Spence, who you've also been building up over the last few years. And, you know, I don't know if I would have made this a pay-per-view fight initially, but I understand the logic, and I do think that the numbers will be interesting, you know, next Wednesday when they come out, because I do think it has the potential to really shock some people, similar to the way Fury Wilder did.
Yeah, I agree. That's my thing. I think the numbers will be good. No one's looking at like Mayweather Pacquiao, but it's going to be really good numbers, though.
It's not going to be a million.
Yeah, but it's going to be good numbers, though. It's going to be real solid.
If it gets 300,000 or more, that's a success.
Yes, I agree. I mean, again, you got guys. These are up and coming. These are guys. They have arrived. They're prize fighters. But these are up and coming megastars, though. You know what I'm saying? So
they're not household names.
Not yet. But they're working on it. They're working on it. And they're putting out a good blueprint to be at that level. So, yeah, I'm with you. So, Arma, before I let you go, let our listeners know what you have on tap with the Quarterly Report podcast.
Absolutely, man. Each and every Thursday, join me for about an hour, maybe about an hour and a half, where we discuss all the top stories in sports and entertainment on the Quarterly Report podcast. Quarterlee is the way we spell quarterly. And you can download it on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. And this week, yes, sir, my man Wally will be joining me. So we're going to talk, obviously, Spence and Mikey, but also his Los Angeles Lakers and NFL
free agency. So depressing.
I can't wait. Man. Check me out every Thursday, man.
Oh, maybe. Folks, you better check this. You better check it out, man. Armand's the man. He is the man. All right. Hey, Armand, thank you again, man. I appreciate you, my man.
No problem. Anytime, Wally.
All right. Again, that is my homie, Armand Lee, host of the Quarterly Report podcast. So make sure you check it out. Check him out. Also, follow him at Quarterly Show. So make sure you follow Armand on Twitter. So, yeah, that's my dude. He keeps it real. He talks sports. We talk boxing. You know what I'm saying? We just keep it 100. And I love talking to like-minded people like me. Anyway, it's time to close this show out. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces. Odell Beckham Jr. is now a Cleveland Brown. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.